This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
If we wish to help our sons and daughters to live eternally joyful lives, we will make it our daily passion to teach them to live by faith in Christ Jesus. It becomes the thought we get up with in the morning. I need to somehow impart this fundamental to my children that they need to trust in the Lord today.
Listen as Rich introduces today's message titled, Teaching the Fundamentals.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. These are fantastic verses that are so fundamental to life. And yet today our specific focus is parenting. For those of you who have young children or older children, who have grandchildren, we believe that God has given us such great encouragement and focus. We looked last week at some foundations of parenting, and today we're going to address the subject of, well, if we have some truth that we want to impart to our children, what specific truth is the most important for us to teach? And Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 are so helpful in sort of riveting our thoughts and riveting our teaching and helping our conversations to really focus upon those things that are absolute, those things that are central. And so let's open up our Bibles together to Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, where we learn more about what God calls us to teach our children.
Parents, imagine for a moment that you have 1 hour where your children give you their complete, undivided attention. Imagine that. And for that 1 hour, their little eyes will attend to your every facial expression, their little ears will capture every word, their little hearts will embrace with joy every part of the message that you bring to them. Imagine that whatever you tell them in that 1 hour, they will understand completely and apply immediately. Imagine even more that what they learn in that hour, they will never, ever forget for the rest of their lives. The lessons you teach them in this hour will be their first thoughts on their hearts when they wake up every morning, and they'll be the last thoughts on their minds when you lay down to sleep at night. So parents, as you think about that one amazing hour, I have two questions. First, how much would you pay for such an hour? Well, we really never have one, but how much would you pay for such an hour? What a treasure it would be. But secondly, if you had such an hour, what would you teach your children? What would be the lesson plan? You know, some might teach math and science. Some might teach music or art. Some might teach philosophy or morality. Some might teach some really important life skill. But what would you teach your children if you had such an hour that I just described? Last week, as we began our study of Proverbs 3 on parenting, we learned four foundations that are necessary for parents to impart wisdom to their children, foundations that must be under the feet of parents. We talked about personal worship, how a parent must have a real relationship with the living God and love Him. We talked about relational conversations, that a parent is to have the kind of relationship where they talk with their children about all of matters of life. And we talked about biblical convictions, how a parent must root his or her own life in the Word of God and then use the Word of God to be the source book from which to teach truth to their children. And then we talked about a God-centered vision, that a parent must have a view of their children's future that is in alignment with God, that their thoughts and dreams and hopes about their children's future would match with God's hopes and dreams about their children's future. It would be a God-saturated life. This week we consider now the fundamental truths that a parent must center upon if we are to impart wisdom. So the first was foundations, but now it's fundamentals. What do we teach? What's our curriculum? If we had 1 hour to teach our children something where they would learn, grasp, apply, retain for the rest of our lives, I believe we could go to no better place than Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, the two most famous proverbs in all the book. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. If you're taking notes this morning, our outline has changed a bit. We're just going to take those four statements from those two verses as our outline to express what I believe are the absolute fundamentals of the curriculum that parents have to teach their children. We talk about the three R's in schooling: reading, writing, and arithmetic. These are the fundamentals now of life, of everything that pertains to life. And the first fundamental that Proverbs 3:5 teaches us is the fundamental to teach trust in the Lord with all your heart. This fundamental is so central to all of life that we would not be exaggerating to say that every story written in God's book is a story that calls us to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Think with me over a few of the early stories. The story of Adam and Eve reminds us that disaster flows from a refusal to trust in the Lord. The story of Cain and Abel teaches us that God's invitation to draw near to him in worship hinges upon our trust in the Lord. The story of Noah reminds us that trusting God seems ridiculous to the world, but is salvation to those who do. The story of Abram teaches us that God credits righteousness to us on the basis of faith and the basis of trust in him. The story of Joseph gives us confidence to trust in the Lord even when painful injustice presses like knives into our soul. Every story written in God's book points us to this one basic theme: trust in the Lord with all your heart. The writer to the Hebrews says it succinctly: without faith, without trust in the Lord, it is impossible to please God. Every eternal blessing is gained through trust in the Lord. And every eternal loss comes because of a refusal to trust in the Lord. So here's the application for us as parents. If we wish to help our sons and daughters to live eternally joyful lives, we will make it our daily passion to teach them to live by faith in Christ Jesus. It becomes the thought we get up with in the morning. I need to somehow impart this fundamental to my children that they need to trust in the Lord today. And that becomes our driving passion. Well, what does it mean to trust in the Lord with all our heart? Seems like there's two key elements involved with trusting in the Lord. First is a willing submission. We trust the Lord by yielding our will to him, by surrendering our lives to him. And then the second element of trusting in the Lord is happy confidence. We trust in the Lord by believing joyfully that he will do good for us, that he will do right by us. The Hebrew word translated trust here in Hebrews 3 literally means to lie helpless or to lie prostrate, to lie face down. We think of a defeated soldier surrendering themselves over to a conquering army, saying, "Okay, I surrender. I'm yours completely." Or we think of a humble servant lying down before a king, saying, "Oh, Lord, whatever you have for me to do, whatever you command, your bidding is now going to be my life." So both these word pictures of a defeated soldier and of a humble servant remind us that trust requires us to yield the rights of our lives over to another. We cannot trust in a God to whom we refuse to surrender. The man who proudly says, "You know, I'm the master of my own fate. I bow down to no one." Such a man is one who simply cannot trust in the Lord. But trust is more than surrender. Trust is also this happy confidence. Trust is the conviction that the Lord in his goodness and love has our very best in view. Trust means we believe that our lives will actually be far better, infinitely better in the Lord's hands than in our own hands. Jesus used children as examples to teach us what it means for us to trust in the Lord, because children's trust is so pure. Jesus called a little child to him and he put him in the midst of the disciples. He wanted him to teach them how to trust in the Lord and what it means to trust in the Lord. And he says, "I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, unless you have this kind of humble trust, dependence, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Little children, by nature, trust their parents for everything. They trust to provide food and clothing. They trust their parents to protect them, to help them, to look after them. Yet even children, as they grow older, trust becomes a challenge. And we saw this with our 4 and 2-year-old grandsons a couple weeks ago. Kimberly and I had an amazing opportunity to have all our 3 adult children, their families, together at a vacation spot. And it's really rare. We hadn't been together for over 1.5 years. And there was a swimming pool there. And neither of these 2 little grandsons had really been in a pool that was more than a kiddie pool. And so they approached it with great caution. My wife is a former swim instructor of children, and so she was super excited and said, "Hey, you want to learn how to swim?" And, you know, they're kind of interested in the idea, but as they approach the pool, they're cautious. And how do we do it? We first get them to sit by the pool and maybe splash their little feet. And as they splash their little feet, "Oh, this is kind of fun." They go a little deeper and deeper. But ultimately, what we wanted them to do, what they needed to do, is to be able to throw themselves into our arms and for us to be able to take them into part of the pool that if we weren't with them, they'd drown. It would be way over their head. And that's scary for them. And they were asking really 2 questions about whether they're going to trust us if they were going to throw themselves into our arms. They're asking, first, will Gigi and OG, will they keep me from drowning? You know, that's a big question. And that's a big little thought. You know, like, do I trust these 2 people who I've known all my life to keep me from drowning? But secondly, okay, if they keep me from drowning, will I have any fun doing this? Is this something I'm even interested in? Because it's kind of scary and I don't even know if I really want to. Both of them had to be overcome in order for them to trust us. And thankfully, eventually for both of them, they did. And we were able to just be out in the water with them, you know, singing songs and splashing around, dancing around, and teach them a little bit how to put their face in the water. And Kimberly so well, I teach them a little bit how to hold on to the edge of the pool and how to get out if they ever got in trouble, all those things. And it was really a blast. But without trust, they would have never, ever had any of that fun. And now they're looking forward to the next time we get into a pool. Because they trusted, and 2 people who were trustworthy, and in the midst of that trustworthiness, they found, oh, this is actually great. God calls us to trust in Him, to trust Him with all our heart. Why should we trust in the Lord? Well, it's the same reason why our grandchildren ultimately trust us. They know us to be a certain kind of people. They wouldn't have trusted y'all. They would have never jumped into y'all's arms because they don't know you. So I don't know, I'm not going to trust. And we're right to not trust people that we don't know. So why do we trust the Lord? Because God has revealed Himself to us. We know exactly who He is. It's on the basis of who He is, His character, that God calls us to have this happy confidence in Him. He calls us to surrender our lives over to Him. You know, I think all the attributes of God sort of fuel faith or fuel trust, but there's 3 of them that sort of become linchpins for me whenever I struggle with trusting the Lord. First is His wisdom. Secondly is His love. And the third is His power. It's these 3 attributes that give us confidence to place our trust in the Lord. The Lord is all wise. Romans 11 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God." In other words, we can't plumb to the depths of how wise God is. He's infinitely wise. So we can have confidence that God knows the way to life, that God's path never leads anyone astray because it's the best of paths, that God knows the most perfect ends to our lives, the most perfect goals we should have, and He also knows the most perfect means by which we could get to those goals. So God is all wise, and so then on the base of His wisdom, we ask, well, do I know how wise the Lord is? And if I know how wise He is, do I trust Him? God is also all-loving. Romans 8, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" No! Nothing is going to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I'm sure that not death or life or even angels or rulers, not even things present or things to come, not powers, not any demonic powers, earthly powers, not height nor depth, anything else. And all creation is able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. So we have confidence that the Lord is for us. The Lord who knows the best ends and the best means of those ends is the Lord who desires the most joyful ends for us. He desires the most wonderful outcome to our lives. He cares for us that much. Beloved, do you know how much God loves you? You say, oh, it'll be impossible to trust in Him with all your heart until you know how much He loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. What a demonstration of His infinite love. And then the Lord is all-powerful. Jeremiah 32 says, "Ah, Lord God, it is you who made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. You spoke and everything that is came into being. Nothing is too hard for you." We have confidence that nothing stands in the way of the Lord bringing his blessing to his people. No enemy can take away the good that God offers us in Christ. When God charts a path to bring us to that perfect outcome through those perfect means, God's power assures us that that path will lead us to that perfect outcome every single time. That nothing prevails over God to frustrate God's plan to bless his people who believe in him. Nothing. Do you know that nothing is too hard for God, that no enemy can stand against him? Do you know that? So friends, we can trust in the Lord with all our hearts because of who he is. He is a God who loves us purely, who understands everything about our life perfectly, and who is able to accomplish everything that he decides to do completely. Trust is reasonable when we know who the Lord is. So here's the truth. Our trust in the Lord rests on knowing who the Lord is. God doesn't hide himself for us and then ask us to trust him. He reveals himself. And then he says, "Trust me, believe in me." In love, God reveals himself to us in his Son, through his word, by his Spirit. And it is then, after the revelation of God into our lives that brings a personal knowledge of God, God says, "Trust me now. Trust me. You know who I am. Now trust me." So in order to grow our trust in the Lord, we must grow in our personal knowledge of the Lord. The more we know of the Lord, the more we're enabled to trust him. Do you know the Lord who asks you to trust him? Do you really know him? Parents, if we wish to help our sons and daughters to live an eternally joyful life, let us make it our daily passion to teach them to live by faith. How do we teach them to live by faith? What are some practical steps? And I've outlined four of them for you. First, tell stories of your own personal trust in the Lord. Tell stories when you had to make a really difficult decision. You didn't know what to do. Tell stories when your heart was broken. It was crushed by some circumstance. Tell stories when your life was overcome by some painful trial and you suffered so deeply and you set your trust upon the Lord. Tell stories of a conflict that you needed the Lord to help to bring peace. You know, our children, they love to hear stories. They love to hear stories of our lives, so let's tell them stories, but let's tell them stories that connect our life to faith. Perhaps you say, "Well, I don't have any stories." Well, then share stories of your failures. You know, honestly, if we don't have a lot of stories of success, tell stories of failures. You know, the Bible, it's filled with stories of successes and failures. Why is that? To teach us about how to trust the Lord. The stories of success tell, "Oh, that person trusts the Lord, and look at the outcome. Through real hard circumstances, God blessed him." Oh, that person, the same person who trusts the Lord and was blessed, is the same person later in his life, didn't trust the Lord. No, look what happens to a person who doesn't trust the Lord. Both of those kind of stories are really important for us to connect the truth of the gospel with real life. Tell stories. Secondly, open God's word daily with your children. Look for ways to teach your children about God's wisdom, about God's love, about God's power, so that they can know him. Show through the scriptures that God is trustworthy. Show them what he's done in all these folks' lives and all the precepts. Help them to see how relevant the attributes of God are to real life. Third, look for practical, teachable moments to point your kids to their need for Jesus Christ. What are those practical, teachable moments? Well, look for times when your kids are really, really sad about something. Look for times when your children are suffering, when they're hurting, whether physically or emotionally. Look for times when your children are afraid, and then talk with them about how the Lord makes a difference in that particular moment. A Christianity that is not specific to life is powerless to change us, and it's not enough for parents to teach in generalities, but to bring to bear real, real specifics. And you know, a lot of times our children are sad, and we kind of use human means. We say, "Oh, it's going to get better," you know, and we do some things. Let's have an ice cream. You know, none of those are wrong. It's just we're missing the chance to teach the fundamental, which is to trust in the Lord. Children are suffering. We use human means. Our children are having a decision from. We say, "Oh, let's think about this and write it out." None of those things are wrong in themselves. Just these are moments to teach them the most fundamental truth that we can teach them is to trust in the Lord. And last, I would say, make your child's spiritual life your very first priority. Let them know that you care more about their spiritual life than anything else, and let them know that through your words and your attitudes and your actions. If we teach our children to be successful in their school life and their social life, their athletic life, and every other part of life, but they are without God, we have done nothing to benefit them 100 years from now. 100 years from now, they will not be in this present plane. They'll be elsewhere, but they will yet be alive. And without Christ, they will be alive unto death, suffering forever and ever. So make this our primary passion, that both now they would enjoy the Lord and forever and ever they'd be able to enjoy the Lord. So teach them the gospel, that God loves them so very much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to them, so that whoever would believe in him, would trust in him, that's where salvation begins, trust, would not perish but would have eternal life. You see, the saved life commences with trusting in God, and the saved life then continues every moment of every day by trusting in God. It's fundamental. Number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Fundamental two, do not lean on your own understanding. I want you to picture for a moment an injured man. He's broken his leg. It's fresh break. He gets a new pair of crutches, and he's trying out his crutches for the first time, and he has to put all the weight of his whole body upon his crutches, and as he does that, he discovers that the crutches were made of paper mache. What just happened is he leaned upon those crutches. Well, these crutches are going to crush underneath his weight, at least my weight they would, and he's going to fall to the floor, and let's say he breaks his hip, he has a greater injury. Why? Because he leaned on something that shouldn't have been leaned upon, something that was untrustworthy, unreliable. Our own understanding is nothing more than paper mache crutches. Do not lean on wet paper mache crutches. That is a foolish thing to do. So God says, do not lean on your own understanding. You will fall, and it'll be disaster for your soul. Trusting in God requires a decisive action. Leaning on our own understanding is our natural default. So every morning I wake up, and guess what I'm leaning on? I'm leaning on my own understanding until I say, I need to make a decision to trust in the Lord for my life today. And I need to make a decision not to lean on my understanding, because that's my natural fall. That's the way I think about life. That's the way we all do. Here's the truth. God will not impart his wisdom to any person who is confident in their own.
Rich will be right back to wrap up today's message. We're glad you joined us and encourage you to invite friends to listen. You can stay connected during the week through our website, knowingchrist.org. Now, here's Rich with some closing thoughts.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We so desire and pray that this radio ministry will be a blessing to you and to your life. If you are a parent or a grandparent, you know the weight that you carry about for the future and for the goodness of your children and grandchildren. You so desire for them to thrive, and you know also much of the disappointments, much of the difficulties, much of the anxious thoughts and fears that come up as a result of being a parent or a grandparent. And we want to come alongside of you. You know, we believe that God hears us when we pray, and that we often have not because we ask not. And so we would encourage you and ask you, if you would allow us to pray for your children and your grandchildren, connect with us, share the name, and share some specific prayer requests. We believe God hears specifically. And we will call out to God on behalf of your children and your grandchildren. We'd love to have that ministry in your life. So please share with us how we might do just that. May God bless you.
Were you blessed by today's message? Why not download a free copy and give it to a friend? Invite them to join us each week on this station. You can download a copy at knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org. And while you're there, select the Contact tab and send us a note on how God is using this program, or share a prayer request with us. It's such an encouragement when we hear from our listeners. Thanks for listening today. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.